It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello to freshly showered girls.
We're looking so fresh, glowing, tanned.
We've both washed our hair.
Yours real, mine superficial.
Actually, mine is fake.
Wow. The truth comes out.
I threw on some Saint-Tropez on Saturday morning.
Saint-Tropez is such a luxury.
I love it. It's because I don't tan like often at all, just because I can't be fucked and I like forget about it. But the week before, there was something on and I put, oh, Thanksgiving, and I put fake tan on that morning, and I was like, that's when it's kind of doable, because you could like get out of the shower, put it on, leave it on for like an hour and a half, and then quickly wash it off, and then you just look hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but doing it the night before, I hate it. I'm always like, I don't want this shit in my sheets.
An overnighter. Yeah, I feel the same, but I do feel like the hour doesn't give me, it only lasts, it's like good for a day.
When you wash it off, do you just rinse yourself? You don't put any like soap and shit on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I literally jump in, quickly rinse, and then pat myself dry. But yeah, I think it needs to be like an hour and a half or 2 hours, ideally.
Mm-hmm.
As long as possible, you can bake in that goodness. But yeah, Saturday I literally got up, not to launch straight into the Balenciaga show. I actually had a little PSA that I wanted to say first. That is that I found the perfect jean.
Oh, please. Please, please, please. I found a really good jean too, but you go first.
So these ones haven't yet. I've worn them a bunch and they have. You know how you find the perfect jean and you put them on, you're like, these are gorgeous. And then after like 3 wears, they look like shit. Uh-huh. These are the Levi's. They're called, oh, fuck. I literally, yeah. They're called Levi's Baggy Dad.
Ooh, Baggy Dad.
And Baggy Dad. And they are shaped so nicely. They just fit perfectly. They're like loose, but you know how loose jeans sometimes come out at the hip,
mm-hmm,
and make you like wider than you need to be? These just drop straight down, loose, really nice. I have this beautiful blue color on, dark, kind of dark washed blue denim. And then I got a faded black pair as well. And I'm obsessed with them. I would get up and show you, but it would make the dog get hyped, but mm-hmm.
But yeah, okay, that's great. Send me a pic after, but they sound exactly like a elusive style. Jeans, I don't know why jeans are so fucking hard. I'm in the same boat. I bought this pair, they're slightly like more fancy, but they're Molly Goddard jeans. I just bought off Matches before I left London, the old 90-minute delivery.
Ooh.
And they, the first, similar vibe, first few times I wore them, I was like, these are the best jeans I've ever owned. And they are still really, really good. They're kind of like super high-waisted, not, they're like quite high-waisted and then like a really dark indigo. But it's the same thing. I'm like scared to wear them if I'm bloated. I'm scared to wear them on days where I might get bloated because I don't want them to stretch and move in any way. It's really, really hard.
I know. I think the thing with jeans that We must learn. I mean, you know this because you wash them. You don't ever wash them. You do that like freezer shit to look after them. But what I need to learn about jeans is they're not a, they shouldn't be a pant that you just wear around the house. Like they should be a pant you wear on like kind of a special occasion if you want them to stay nice, because A, you're not supposed to wash them like at all. And B, yeah, they like, I guess the washing them thing is the main thing, but also they like lose their shape. And right now, and also the more you wear them, obviously the more you're going to like spill shit on them and need to ruin them by washing them. But right now I'm just sitting in these gorgeous Levi's in my house. And it's like, you shouldn't be doing that because they're going to get ruined.
I think you either just take the attitude that you're going to have a high turnover rate, which is fine, and wear them all the time. Or yeah, you, if you have your precious ones, you just hold on to them for special occasions.
Well, I guess, yeah, these Levi's, they're so good because they're so perfect and they're so comfy, but they're not expensive. So maybe this is like the high turnover rate ones. But like with my acne ones, I've now realized I just can't wear them unless I'm like going out and about.
Yeah.
They're not a home pant.
A home pant. I really need to learn how to do that with shoes. I've just ruined so many really nice pairs of shoes. And everyone else understands.
Shit. You wear them on like, hikes. We'll be like going for a big walk. We'll be meeting for a walk. And I come in my Hockers and my exercise gear. And Grace has on her little Celine loafers and some sort of like oversized expensive cashmere jumper. And I'm like, okay.
It's really bad. I need to get a pair of like ugly sneakers. A sensible orthopedic sneaker.
I mean, we're back to the same boring chat about shoes, because it is like that. There's hardly any that are good for walking long distances that also look nice.
A slip-on sneaker? Is that a thing? You could invent it.
I just wear my those black Rick Owens Birkenstocks whenever I'm schlepping about, but then I really do need a good sneaker. I just can't really find any that I like, or I like them in theory and then I just won't buy them for some reason. It's not an exciting purchase. It's like I like those Nike Cortezes or whatever, the thin white ones. They'd look cute on you, actually. Maybe. I don't know.
I've bought so many over the years. I might get an Asics, just really, because they look like they've got a lot of lumbar support. Is that the word? And just lean into it being like an ugly jelly sneaker and just wear it and then whip them off.
Whip them off and swap them?
Swap them.
Ooh.
I can't be seen in them. I'm having this like delusional thing where I like walk down the street in Oxford Street a lot and I think girlies are like looking and catching my eye, but they're probably just girls.
I do that so fucking much.
I'm like, oh, just
I always do
fan.
It in Australia and New Zealand.
It's
yeah,
just a girl.
I remember when I told Amar that like everyone was going to recognize me in New Zealand, and not one person said anything, and he was just like giving me so much shit.
We like have made up this. This podcast has an audience. It's just you and I on this mic, and the audio goes nowhere. The mics aren't plugged in.
I was like thinking about this the other day where I was like laughing. Imagine if we were just in some insane movie.
Yeah.
And this was all fake. We were like the Truman. We were literally the Truman Show or something.
I think sometimes I'm like, this is all just a bad simulation that we're in. It's like Westworld.
Well, I was finding it funny because the other day, I don't know why, but I was in the kitchen and I was thinking about our friends who don't listen to the podcast. And I was thinking about, because they would be so removed from thinking I guess people would know we obviously have listeners and stuff, but like I was just thinking about how they would just be like, oh my God, are they still doing that? Yeah. Like 5 years later? That like random podcast that's gone nowhere. I like thought that the other day. I was like, that's so funny if that's the case.
The world is so podcast listeners and not podcast listeners, I'm realizing.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Like people who don't listen, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like people who don't listen would just be like, what are they even doing that for? Like, do they even make any money? Does anyone even listen? Like,
yeah, exactly. 100%. People do listen.
Well, you know what? Fuck you to them.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's girls down Oxford Street that are whipping their heads around. They're just,
you know,
girls.
What? Fuck you. You'll never hear this because you don't listen.
Someone made eye contact on the bus and I wanted to be like, yes, it's me from after work drinks.
It's me.
Are you a girly?
Wear our merch. Wear all our merch.
I'm going to start wearing the pea bread. The problem is I have over the head earphones, as you can see, because I lost two pairs of AirPods in a row, which is crazy. So I can't wear this over a hat. It's an eternal problem. So I think I need to buy some string headphones. Hate spending money on tech. Hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it.
Yeah. To go back to Saturday, should I talk
you through?
Yeah, let's
talk it through. I'm very excited.
My big Balenciaga filled weekend. Mm-hmm. Not to be like a chug, but I was so excited when I got invited to this show.
Yes, it's so fun.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like I've been before to the show in Paris with you once, for the Simpsons one. But I guess with these bigger shows, you just sometimes don't know if you'll be invited or not because of like the size of the space and like whatever their focus for that season. Like I was going on behalf of Rush, so like whether they were prioritizing the Australian market or like blah blah blah. And then Tat got an invite before me and I was like, oh, you bitch. And she was at my house and I was like, I hope I get to go. And then mine came through the next morning. So I like sent her the screenshot and it was like this excited thing. And she had a driver coming to pick her up, like a Balenciaga driver for the whole day. So she was like, come to mine beforehand. Let's get ready together. Like blah, blah, blah. Mimosas will be so fun. And then I woke up that morning, slept so terribly with these kids, felt like shit and was like, you know what? I'm going to take some me time. I did the big old shower, shaved the legs, put on fake tan, dyed my hair black because I thought that'll be fun for Balenciaga.
Oh my God, what a day. That's very Balenciaga as well.
And also the night before I was lying on my couch doing nothing and I went to this nail salon right around the corner from my house and got my nails done black. And then it was so special. They had like a little phone stand and I put my phone on it and watched the season finale of The Golden Bachelor. I was like, I'm having the best Friday night of my entire life.
Can we just have a very quick sidebar to say, I have got two separate emails from PRs about Jerry.
What are they
saying? Apparently it's caused a huge cultural conversation. Spoiler alert, jump forward like 10 seconds, that he strung along the runner-up and everyone was outraged. Or is that fake news?
No, he did. He's a naughty, naughty boy. It was crazy. It was really bad behavior. I think he just got so caught up. He's obviously only bussed his like gorgeous deceased wife. Like
wife.
In his life. So they met when they were like 14 when he was fugly and then obviously got married, were together their whole lives. Then she died. And then I don't know if he's bussed anyone since. So he just got really overwhelmed. And then essentially, basically what happened was he had this really gorgeous, fun-loving, young, I told you, like very Donna energy, like married twice.
Motorbike.
Married twice before. I don't actually know if she was the motor. There was two separate ones that were like that and I keep getting them confused.
Okay.
There was like a motorbike guitar playing one and then this is like a horsey one who lived in the countryside. I think they're different women. I don't know. And like, yeah, she was just fun and cute and he laughed with her a lot and they joked together and like she gave him shit and blah, blah. And then there was Teresa, who's like the same age as him. So she's in her 70s. The other one was in her 60s, which was like a huge thing. And Teresa's like this grandma who'd basically same thing, married her high school sweetheart, never bussed anyone else, like very calm, quiet, serene thing. And he essentially fully acted like he was going to go for the young, hot, vivacious one. And he was like holding her face being like, you're the one, I love you and shit. Like it was crazy.
Jerry.
And then they had an overnight date together. Jerry. I know. And I was also like, this is random because I feel like she kind of came out of nowhere to be like runner up. So I sort of thought the whole time he was going to pick Teresa and he just like threw in a like, what is it? Just throw in a random...
A wild card. Yeah.
So that he wouldn't have to break someone else's heart. I thought he was being like really strategic about it. Then he's like telling her he loves her and she's the one. And then they have this overnight date. Obviously, Buss. She said on camera like the things he was saying on their over one were crazy. Like she was like, I'm not going to say it out loud, but like he was talking about future. I mean, he's already said on the camera, you are the one. You're my girl. Like I love you and shit. So whatever he was saying behind the scenes was just like, I don't even fucking know, while they were naked. And then the next day he meets Teresa and goes and she meets his family. And I think they really liked her because she was talking about her dead husband, which made them feel seen with their like mum being dead and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he picked her. It was crazy. And it was so...
But it's because we know why. Men get the ick after sex. They don't know they're going to get it. This is I think he, women get the ick before sex. Men get it immediately after. Yeah. It's a thing.
I think he bussed her and then realized that the safe bet and the bet that like he'll live a calm life and will fully be forever with was like just the safe option was Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
For a man in his like 70s.
And he would have been horny before. He literally would have just been saying things because he was super horny. And then afterwards been like, oh, let's think about this more seriously.
But Grace, it was crazy. I was sitting at the nail salon. I was crying, like literal crying, because he had his date with Teresa. They had an overnight and he said everything changed like over that night. And I think it all started changing when she met his family and his family loved both of them, but his family like... were telling him that they were speaking about their mum, like his daughters, with her and shit. And then he had a final date with, I can't remember this iconic woman's name, final date with her, and she knew it was off, and he like left the room, and then he came back and she'd been crying, she was just sitting in there crying, and then he came back and he was crying out on the steps, and then he came in and he was like, I can't do this to you, like I can't lie to you and like, make you walk down the thing and say no to you tomorrow. Like my heart is with Teresa, and she was sobbing and she was just like, no one ever picks me. This always happens to me. Like fucking devastating. I was like sobbing. My nail person was like, what's happening? I was like the golden bachelor. I'm really hoping she's going to be the golden bachelorette.
For sure.
If she'll 100%. Do it. Yeah.
She will.
Yeah.
That's exciting for her at least.
Yeah, and she has the whole country behind her. They would like beg for her to be the Golden Bachelorette. Like everyone's obsessed with her now. That story always wins the nation over. It's the most American thing about me, my love of The Bachelor.
Yeah, they always manage, I mean not always, but they often manage to pull it off with these kind of storylines that just get you hooked. I'm missing that. I miss having a bachelor to...
I've watched The Bachelor. I've watched the US Bachelor for since high school. It's really weird. Me and my like high school friend used to stream it and watch it all the time. So I'm like fully across a lot of it. I've watched like so many of them. But yeah, anyway. Back to Balenciaga. A lot of me talking. What's early for you?
I'm really enjoying it. I know. I'm drinking a coffee and listening. I'm a listener. I'm a listener.
And I'll let you talk tomorrow on the Patreon because you can tell us all about that royal book.
I'll let you talk. Okay, wait. So did you do the car? That's quite fun.
So I woke up and was like, I just need to spend some time at home. And it's like, you're a fucking bitch. And I was like, come to mine. And so she got the driver to drive to my house. And he was like, I can't wait here long. Like, I have to tell the reps that we're on the way. And she just came upstairs with champagne. And we got ready. And thank fuck she did, because she helped with my outfit so much. But then the show was down the road from my house. And it was really funny because they were so secretive leading up to it. So like, all you had was the save the date until the night before. So you had no idea what time it was, no idea where it was, no idea like of any logistics apart from save the entire day on Saturday. I was like, people need to like, no, people have like full have stylists and like glam teams and like dogs to walk. And then it turns out it was 5 minutes from my house, so that was really special. And they'd shut down a whole street in Hancock Park, which is just this like super affluent suburb, like really nice residential area. And it like, if you looked directly up the road, the Hollywood sign is at the end, so it was really cool. It had all the like palm tree lined streets. So we drive there, and I don't know, like there's not even much to say about that part apart from the fact that like I think because they'd been so secretive, no one in the public knew where it was. So it wasn't a shit show outside at all. There was like no one there. to the point where if you saw, I posted on like the AWD Close Friends and I posted a few stories on my own. But if you saw that, like I was right. I just would turn around. Nicole Kidman was like here. And I was just like, Jesus. And then like Kim and like Kendall, like everyone, I was just, the videos I put on Close Friends, everyone was like, this axis, what the fuck? Because they were like right in front of me. Because it was just tiny. Like it was quite cool.
They'd still be worried as well, I imagine. They'd still be worried as well, I imagine, uh-huh. about people turning up with their picket signs. So yeah, I know. That makes sense.
Yeah, so it was like super locked down to the point where like everybody in the, it felt like everyone in the whole city was speculating. Like our driver was like, we think the show's in like the head, someone really high up at Balenciaga's house. And then it was just like on a street. And
Nicole's like the new brand ambassador, yeah. which I love. She looked so good.
Such a good pick. Holy fuck. So yeah, such it was her first pick. Balenciaga show. That was really, exciting. And then obviously because it's an LA themed collection, like LA inspired, it was so cool to see the people that invited. So like Brooklyn and Nicola being there, I was like, that's so spot on.
I loved that they were there. Yeah. I agree. We just needed a dog.
Yeah, true. There was no like little dogs.
If Nicola had Label in a bag, in a big tote, that just would have been the cherry on top, but we can't have it all.
They needed Paris Hilton as well. Like there were quite a few like iconic LA people who weren't there.
I also just thought the Real Housewives, I know Rinna was there, but like just the current cast of Real Housewives, maybe not all of them, but
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. I just think they're so LA, like campy thing. It would have been very fun. Mm-hmm. A missed opportunity in my eyes.
Or if they had Lisa, like Vanderpump walking the runway.
Please, God. Mainline.
How insane would that be?
It's jiggy.
Yeah.
Ken on the runway.
Ken, like her and Ken, because like heaps of models were walking together as if they were like just hanging out, walking along the street.
Ken. Oh my God, her and Ken. And Ken would have that sort of like geriatric lollop that Balenciaga loves, the kind of like staggered, yeah. like.
yeah. And then what else happened? Oh, I was seated behind Devon Lee Carlson and Camille Rowe. I was like, us in How another girlies. Lifetime. Who we wish to be. Girlies. It was so funny as well because I was like, it's funny how you've, I mean, we both, you actually introduced me to Devon. I had no idea who she even was. But like we both love them, but then both embody each of them like in our own way. Like I was like, I love silly Y2K shit and have brown hair. Grace loves like chic French energy and has blonde hair. I was like, oh, I love them.
Oh my God, I love Camille. Like, was she? I love them both, but like,
yeah,
Camille is it? Did she look amazing? And I should have been quite understated.
Yeah, exactly. She just was like not wearing any makeup, but looked really beautiful.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The show itself, I don't know, like it's hard because I feel like I've just been like drunk the Kool-Aid with Balenciaga. Like even though I find it funny that Demna said that like after the whole scandal he was going to step away from that like meme-y, like what is the word? Kind of
zeitgeisty, whatever.
yeah, playing tricks. I can't think of the thing. And then all he did was like collaborate with Erewhon, which is the most sort of memeified supermarket in LA, and create actual Erewhon shopping bags in leather. Like, I just kind of found that an odd move. I mean, I love Erewhon, obviously. So I was like, I love both of these things. But then, yeah, it just felt a bit like kitschy and like they were taking the piss. And then like a lot of the clothes were stuff we've seen before. So.
Yes, I think it's like, it's an interesting question about what the role of those shows are, that are like location shows, and they're often just like big marketing exercises, but obviously you want the shoot, the accessories and the clothes to be stuff you actually want to wear. I didn't mind the Erewhon velour tracksuits coffee thing of it all. I know it wasn't like insanely groundbreaking, but I thought it was just quite fun and funny and a clever way to do LA if you're going to do LA. But yeah, I agree. After he's made that huge statement and he was like, because I was at that show, which was his first show since the scandal, and we all got that like piece of paper, I've kept it, that had the note basically saying, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to do anything gimmicky ever again.
Yeah,
basically.
Gimmicky, that so, was the word.
Yeah, so doing it that soon after, I understand. But I also... Yeah, that's him. I was always like, that's not going to last, because that's his entire thing. He like makes fun of culture in this really smart way. I don't know how he's going to do what he does without that. It wouldn't work.
Yeah. No, I mean, exactly. Like that's what I mean by I loved it. I can see the critique of it, but I loved it. I loved watching. It was just so LA having the models in their athleisure, but then like with the long talon nails and the full beat of makeup and the like big lips and the Erewhon coffee cups. I loved it. It felt like such a kind of, I think that was the thing that I was trying to question afterwards, when I was like having to drunkenly write my review. I was like, is he still, with that Simpsons show that we saw, it really felt like he was saying something about like celebrity and status and like all of that kind of culture, with how he had this red carpet thing that was the runway, and it felt like it was kind of turning the camera on us, and like it really was quite thought-provoking. But now I'm sort of like, okay, the thing is celebrity and influencer culture in LA, and like in such a crazy, there's nowhere that more embodies that than LA. But I'm like, are you critiquing it, or are you just like capitalizing off it? Because like the people that actually are in your show or are your biggest like kind of celebrity faces are like your Kim Kardashians, and it's like, I don't know, it's a funny
so
one.
True.
But I mean, I'm still just like, and when I say that the clothes weren't like crazy groundbreaking, it's not even it's like true, but not even true, because like you go to the Reese and there is so much detail in every single garment. That's why the Reese, I think, is so important. And you can see like all of these crazy technicalities and like the new accessories. I think there is so much thought that goes into the design. It's just like when you look at it on a runway, it looks quite similar to things you've seen before. But I'm still such a massive fan of the brand. Like I love it. If I could afford it, I would wear so much of it. It's just, I was like, if you were going to critique it, that's kind of where the question is, I think.
100%. I think that's so true. It's like, what is the broader meta comment that's being made by that versus just, yeah, tapping into a moment where people are talking about Erewhon? And that's kind of that's the thing in general. Like I think Rachel Tashtian wrote something about this, about like Sporty and Rich doing a Carolyn Bessette style campaign. And she was just like, there's no irony or self-awareness in it. There's no like twist on it, or like tapping into that aesthetic for a new age in a smart way, or playing on it, or like, it's literally just taking an image from the 90s and recreating it with no thoughtfulness around the comment you're trying to make. And it's a very different ball game, Sporty and Rich and Balenciaga. But like, yeah, it is that question with doing something in that LAE campy over the top way, that's just so ripe for like making comments about our culture and how we consume trends. And this idea, I guess it's this idea that we've already talked about, that Erewhon, having an Erewhon shopping bag is akin to having a designer handbag, because it's like such a status symbol to be able to shop there, basically. And that idea that it's actually, maybe that's it. It's now kind of the signifiers of like wealth aren't even which designer handbag you carry anymore, because it's like everyone has designer handbags, you know?
So or yeah, it's more like, about like the lifestyle, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the LA and like maybe the ultimate status symbol is like wearing, yeah, sweatpants and UGG boots, but they're like $4,000 UGG boots and like $10,000 sweatpants. I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting.
It is interesting.
But what else happened? Nothing really happened at the show. They were playing the soundtrack, which was quite cool, where it was playing fake advertisements for like LA things. So it was just like, do you like yoga and have a dog? Come down to Echo Park and we'll blah, blah, blah. Like, and then like cosmetic enhancements and stuff. And then afterwards, we just got our guy to pick us up and we went straight to Chateau Marmont, me and Tap. And got burgers and fries and 3 margaritas each, which was so strong. I was like, I'm like on my ass. And then went home and went to the after party, which wasn't like actually that fun. Like there was a cocktail thing at Sunset Tower, which was chill and nice, but kind of random in the vibe of it or something. And then they had like a party at Whiskey and Go-Go, which is this kind of bar on Sunset Boulevard, but then Cardi B was supposed to play at it and her name was on the invite. Like it was like Cardi B and friends or something. And then she didn't play. She said the Balenciaga woman the next day went at my recce said that she lost her voice, so didn't play. I was like, shit,
lost
man.
Lost her voice.
Apparently.
There you go. Oh, yeah, Cardi B walked.
Yeah.
That was quite cute.
Yeah,
little
love her.
Fur coat.
I was like to Tat, there was this man, I think maybe a rapper, in the front row opposite me, and he was just like swigging out of a bottle and like smoking. And then she saw my photos and was like, do you literally not know who that is? And I was like, no. And she was like, it's Lil Wayne. I was like, sorry.
I think he's a rapper. I love Lil Wayne. Smoking. Okay, amazing. I kind of love the LA of it all. It feels like so many brands are doing things in LA now as well. LA is becoming the new hub.
I know, it's fun for me.
A new fashion hub, very fun. They've followed you over.
They're doing they're trying to revamp LA Fashion Week now as well. Come over for it. Like last year they hired this guy Noah, who's amazing. He was at IMG, so he was doing like obviously all the other big fashion weeks, and I met him at Australian Fashion Week, and then now he's heading up LA Fashion Week, and it's going to be, I think it will be really cool this year, hopefully. He had Louis Dejavier, who I love, headline this last one in October.
Amazing. So, there's something about that, yeah. I think there's something about when you create that, it gives an incentive to young designers to like stay in LA or to, I don't know, build out their brand. It's nice. It's
yeah.
Important.
Well, that's what Jerry Lorenzo, the Fear of God designer, was saying. I interviewed him last week and I went to his fashion show at the Hollywood Bowl back in like April. And it was the brand's first ever fashion show, even though they've been around for like almost a decade. And the way he's built that company, it's like still independent. It's like set to make like $1 billion. It's so fucking successful. And he's just so clever. He'd never worked in fashion before or had any fashion background. And anyway, they had like this crazy show at the Hollywood Bowl. Sampha played. It was mental. And I was kind of talking to him about why, not really like why he had the show there, but why LA like means so much to him. And he was just like, this place is, he was just like, the show being in LA, there was never any question about it, because I don't understand why we as designers who make our clothes here, who have like really successful brands here, need to go and have like this backdrop of Paris to be taken seriously. So I think heaps of designers now are just being like, this is we're inspired here. This is a fucking cool place. And it's so cultural, and there is so much to it beyond just like West Hollywood and that idea that Balenciaga put on the runway. And so it's quite exciting because I think there's so many young brands here now, like really ripping LA.
Yeah, that's cool. That's so interesting. I do feel like there's this broader move away from like monoculture. I don't know. We're living through such a fucking fascinating time. Like the last 10 years, I feel like more has happened than in like the last 100 years in terms of culture. And yeah, I feel like everyone, we got into these monocultures with Instagram and social media, and now everyone's almost wanting to go back like local and not obsess over these, like, I don't know, a thought that's in my brain. But yeah, I think that's like, I think even being here, and you said this when you were at Australian Fashion Week last time, like there's this amazing groundswell of like young Australian talent that are just proud to be Australian and don't think that they need to like leave and work in Paris or New York for their work to be legitimate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's a bit of a shift in that, which I think is a really good thing.
Yeah, I love that as well. I love wearing, I don't know, it's funny because I just think you feel so much more connected to a brand when you're close to it. Like when I'm in Australia and I will be there for like a week or something, it's like all these Australian brands are the ones that I want to be buying and the ones that I want to be wearing and the ones that I feel this affinity towards. Because I think you as well, when it's a young brand, being involved in their, involved in any way, like just buying and supporting their brand feels really nice. Like I just love wearing Alex Higgins stuff. And then being in LA, I think because it's a bit bigger, it feels, or even London, like I think I just kind of felt a bit more like confused about, I love having like brands that I wear and feel like me in those bigger cities. It feels harder to sort of figure that out or something. Like in New Zealand, you just wear Georgia Ellis.
Yeah, I know. And it's so nice because they're like, you just know that they're amazing, like lovely people who are creating, just super creative, kind of creating something themselves. It gives you more awareness, I guess, of like the work and effort it takes to just create any fucking piece of clothing. It's just crazy. The Fashion Awards in London, I feel like, is really just got, every year gets like bigger and better.
I know.
The red carpet was really good this year, I thought.
Yeah, me too. What were your faves? I'm just bringing up the thing.
I know, I just need to bring it up again to remind myself.
There was also the Academy Award Gala. There was the Academy Gala over here as well. Yeah. And there was so many, there was so many things on this weekend. I was like, wow, people must be tired. But yeah, some really good looks. I loved, was Alexa Chung wearing 16 Arlington? I really like that dress.
Yeah. That was really, really beautiful. Yeah, the huge sequins. I loved Taylor Russell in Loewe. I loved Adut Akesh. Looked fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Charlie. Is that Loewe? Must be. This?
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's really good.
She looks so gorgeous. I was so sad. It was really funny. I was like at Balenciaga, like pushing Kim out of the way, trying to be like, where's Charlie? So I assumed she'd be here and she just wasn't. I was so upset. I left the show being like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Because then when I was seated beside Devon, I was like, she's obviously not fucking here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your loss.
I know.
Kristen McMenemy looked amazing. God, who else? There were so many good people, and now I'm struggling to get a definitive list up. Oh, I really liked Iris Law and Vivian Westwood. I thought it was really good.
I need to see. Let me look. I saw a photo of her toes. She had like crazy toes.
I thought the same thing.
No crazy toe polish. Do you think she just has crazy toes? Rude.
No, it was like a picture of her toes and her nails. Yeah.
We don't foot shame here.
No, we embrace feet of all.
Shapes and sizes.
Hear it. AWD.
You're doing so much like violent swiping. Poor Im.
I know. I can feel her fury.
She's Grace has like got the tab up and it's clicking through, but the way you like slam those fingers down. I'm doing it on my phone because I have fucking respect.
You have some respect for the audience and for the editor. Who else? I kind of love Amal being there. She's looking very tanned recently.
How was Lisa Ritter there as well? It's mental.
I know.
And Lisa Amelia, actually. Everywhere. That's crazy.
I find it funny. I'm obsessed with Amelia. I'm loving her unexpected ascension.
Same. I really love Amelia. I didn't realize, like, is it the same thing as the Met Gala where brands can buy tables? Because Amelia was wearing Miss Self-Portrait, and I swear to God, that wouldn't have been her a choice she would have made herself. And then I saw them being, like, all in a self-portrait bus and table.
Yeah, must be. And Julia saw Jamois as well, and she looked so, like, great. It was a good night for self-portrait.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good night for self-portrait.
What else? I wasn't sure about Rita Ora with the...
No, what's up with that? The spikes on the back. I don't love that.
I think she wore Primark as a... There was some sort of initiative around Primark. So she wanted to sex it up. So what's her name? Issamea French made her a prosthetic spine. But I didn't respond to it. Gillian Anderson is so fucking hot.
Amal's
looking too tanned. Amal's left on the Bondi Sands for a few hours too long.
I know, she is looking too tanned. She also just like always wears the same silhouette. I know it suits her, but I'm just like, do something else.
Yeah. Shake it up.
Like Gwendoly Christie's. Perfect. Why is she so perfect?
She's literally so perfect.
Who's she wearing? Fuck, she's... Do you know why I always forget, which is like the dumbest thing in the entire world to forget, that Tracee Ellis Ross is Diana Ross's daughter? It like goes out of my brain, and then whenever it comes back in, I'm like, Jesus. So shocking to me. It was so shocking because like Diana Ross played at Beyonce, and then Tracee Ellis Ross was like, oh my God, mom. And I was like, wow.
That's literally your mom. Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah.
Pamela Anderson.
It was a good... Pamela Anderson looked gorgeous. Michaela Cole, we still haven't decided, looked great. Minimal, but gorgeous.
And what's her face? I don't know if this is like, is this just, I don't know if this is a really dumb thing to be doing because people obviously, like, our podcast is not a visual medium. So people can't see it. But like every time we have talked about fashion on the red carpet, people respond to it. But as I'm like, as you're talking, just like, reading out names, I'm like, who, if I haven't even looked through all the names, have these guys to be like responding, or can they just pull it up?
It's an AWD tradition at this point. It's a nonsensical,
but I'm like, does it make any sense?
Yeah.
But I think we need to explain more when we talk about them, but I can't because I'm only looking at a photo and I can't even see what designer they're wearing. What's her face? What's Kate Moss's daughter's name?
Lila,
she's wearing Nancy DeJarka and it's see-through and it's like a cutout and it's reminiscent of the see-through dress that her mom wore. Mm-hmm. She looks gorgeous. What else? Fa la 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 la. Anne Hathaway, all right. It's quite nice. Quite like goddess vibes.
Yeah. It is really nice. It was a good, I don't know, it's a good fashion, like, night, everyone. Because you know how the Met's just got kind of increasingly, like, crazy? There's obviously fucking amazing. We all mainline it into our veins. But this just felt very fashion-y. It was nice to see. The red carpet's back in full swing, baby.
Exactly. I can't believe that we're about to get into... Wait, are we about to get into awards season? I get confused about when it is. But yeah, right?
Yeah, it's from February, but are they going to do it this year? What's even come out?
Well, they are. The Oscars is 10th of March. predictions for every category. I really want to see May December, that new Todd Haynes film.
Same. I've got invited to a... When does it come out in the States?
It's already out. I just haven't seen it yet because Amar gets here on Sunday, so we're going to go together. But I want to see that, and I want to see Dream Scenario, the new Nicolas Cage one.
Yeah, that looks really good. I love Nicolas Cage. Yeah, May December's not out here till February, which is outrageous.
Wow, that's mental. Okay, so the you've seen Past Lives, right?
I still haven't seen it.
Oh my god, you have to watch it. You have to watch it. You fucking love it. Everybody watch it. The Variety's Best Picture guesses. I can't think of any words. Predictions. Is Killers of the Flower Moon, which I haven't seen, May December, Oppenheimer, mm-hmm. Past Lives. I'd be so sick if Past Lives gets nominated, which I think it would. Barbie, which I feel like, would it get nominated for Best Picture?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's going to get
really?
It.
Really? Oh, that's so good.
A sweep of noms.
I just always think they're so Oscars about it.
I think they are normally. I just think because it was such a huge...
You can't not.
It was so huge. It's the Greta Gerwig of it all kind of adds that like Oscar-y sheen. And then I think people will backlash it as sexist.
And the cast, obviously.
Yeah, the cast. Yeah. It will get nominated. Oppenheimer, obviously. And then Saltburn, I reckon, will get so much.
Yeah, Past Lives, May December, Killers of the Flower Moon, those ones. One called American Fiction, which I've never heard of. Maestro, which is what was on Netflix. Weird.
It's the Bradley Cooper one.
That's yeah. Not out yet. Oh, it's with not his, out yet.
With his, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Because I was like, wait, I haven't even heard of this. Origin, which is Ava DuVernay. So a few to watch, girlies. A few to watch. Oh my god, they're saying and they're dominant. They're saying their predictions for director is Bradley Cooper in there for that one.
Yeah, he will be absolutely frothing at that.
Greta Gerwig for Barbie, yes. Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer or Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon. Who will win?
Should be Greta.
But who will it be? Well, was Killers of the Flower Moon better than Oppenheimer if you were judging a director?
Yeah, similar kind of energy, like huge production, you know, true story, big celebrity cast, blah, blah, blah. Pretty hard to call. I don't know. I just think that the Academy is very much in like redemption mode for all their years of being so fucked. And so I just kind of feel like, if it's not Greta, like Celine, who directed Past Lives, or someone, I don't know. I just like they're more open to actually acknowledging the best movies of the year versus just rewarding the same like old white dudes over and over again. But you never know.
Listening to Frances McDormand.
Yeah, listening to Frances McDormand.
Being like, stop giving me awards.
Barry should win for Saltburn. I'm putting it on the table.
I know they say nothing about Saltburn in this entire thing thus far, but I was just looking at lead actor and didn't see Ryan Gosling, and I was up in arms. But then I realized that he's a supporting actor. Ken,
he's supporting. So he could honestly win for that movie. Like he was just so good in it.
Hopefully he does.
And he's never won an Oscar, I don't think.
That would be so sick if he won for Barbie.
Yeah, it'd be so good. The Oscar-winning Barbie movie.
It's got three red stars beside it, but I don't know what the fuck that means. I also really want to see, I know we talked about it, or I can't remember if it was on Patreon or Main, but Flamin' Hot, which is Eva Longoria's film. We need to watch it and support her because she's a queen. That's all I have to say about
Flaming
that.
Flamin' Hot.
Yeah, I just love her. I didn't know all of the work she does behind the scenes to like uplift minority voices and Latina women in cinema. And I'm just like, I fucking stan her. And America Ferrera, best woman in the world after Max Mara woman in film.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's slept on.
She's fucking slept on. She's so cool. I drunkenly text you, didn't I? What did I say?
Yeah, I said you just said America. We've slept on America Ferrera, which is true. I love women. I love Eva Longoria.
And that's that. That awards literally made me cry. It was so special being in that room, like honoring women in film, but not only women in film, like storytelling. Because I just love talking to actors and people who work in creative industries like that, where they're just like, where Yara Shahidi and so many actors and actresses I've spoken to are just like, I got into this because I loved stories and storytelling and being immersed in stories. And I'm like, well, that's why I got into writing.
Yeah, we all can lose sight of the kind of like creative core of it. And yeah, there are so many people doing incredible, incredible things behind the scenes who don't want to be rewarded. But yeah, those like awards events evenings are just, they are really amazing. We've all got too cynical and like battle hardened and like being ironic on the internet, thinking everything's lame. And yeah. I just Jane want to be Fonda, a sincere, earnest girly.
Jane Fonda got up and did this huge speech about America Ferrera, and then it showed this clip of all the work she's done throughout her entire career, and she started crying, and she was sitting like 2 meters from me, like just on the next table. So I was like looking at her like this, and she was just like crying from what Jane Fonda was saying. And then she got on stage and did this amazing speech about, I don't know. And it was just like, the room was just full of women, like all here for one cause, all united. And like, I was just like, I love women.
Women are the fucking best. It's so, so nice.
So yeah, we love everyone, but we mostly love Eva Longoria and America Ferrera. I'm going to write into the Academy and be like, nominate them for something. I mean, she should be nominated for Barbie, surely.
Yeah. Yeah, she was yawning as I speak. Yes, she was amazing in it. Yeah. Barbie. There's this thing that's going around of like Margot Robbie and Cillian Murphy in the variety actors on actors thing. And Margot Robbie's like, one of your producers from Oppenheimer called me up and was just like, I think it would be really good for you guys if you changed the date. We're just worried about you. And she said,
really?
I'm fine with the date. If you're worried, you should change the date.
So good. Yeah. Because I was saying that to someone the other day. I was like, it was, oh, what did I say? But I said something the other day to someone about how like it was such a good move for Greta and Margot to buy those Oppenheimer, to get those Oppenheimer tickets and pose outside the theater as if they were going to Oppenheimer, because that kicked off the whole Oppenheimer Barbie double feature same day thing. Like, they did so mm-hmm. much to help that film. Those women.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly.
Women,
not only making their own movies incredible, but getting all these people to watch Oppenheimer.
I know. I was like, I never would have seen that fucking movie ever. I never would have gone to the movies to see it, let alone on opening weekend. If Greta and Margot hadn't told me to.
And they literally would have been DeLulu, like the Oppenheimer team. They would have been like, oh my God, this is going to be bad for Barbie. Like,
I know.
They're going to kill them in the box office. Yeah.
So funny.
The reign of women continues.
Anyway.
Okay, girlies.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials?
Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.